We have got the members from the PMG, and then from ASRI, and I think from the languages, ne? Am I right? From?
I'm a journalist.
Oh, I think we have to introduce ourselves here. Yeah? We should know who is here. But it's not that we are saying journalists are not welcome. May I just say, Meso Vala Remangena no sa angoloma? Buya na. I think we can just introduce ourselves. Otherwise, I wish to take the opportunity to welcome everybody in today's, this morning's meeting. We are a bit behind schedule, but we understand today is Friday, people are just trying to pack their things, because so that when we leave this house, they run for the flight. This morning we are going to get a presentation from the department presenting their 5-year strategic and performance plan. The committee will recall that this framework was expected to be presented last year in November, because all the threat plans were presented last year by the various departments. But because we are having a new, we have been given a new mandate as the human settlement. We were housing before, Department of Housing. But now, during the State of the Nation address of 2009, the president pronounced that we are no longer the Department of Housing. Now we are being transformed to be the Department of Human Settlement. So it took a long time, because there was an additional mandate of sanitation that has been extended to the Human Settlement. So it took a long time, because they had to make sure that they incorporate the new mandate to the, and then deal away with the old mandate. So we were so patient with them. They were postponing. But we are happy today that we have finally come to the final stage of this 5-year threat plan. So the department, DG, acting DG, you are welcome with your delegation, and the Office of Ministry is here. And can you are which office? Same office, DG. Okay. So over to you, Mr. Shabat.
Thank you, let me start this side. Ms. Wonga Kabandu, I'm acting DG, Department of Human Settlements.
My name is Martin Marikusa, and I'm DG responsible for policy.
I'm Nelile Soloniani, Deputy Director General for Corporate Services.
Good morning, my name is Dietrich Wilson. I am from the Policy Unit in the Department.
I'm Nelile Hara, Assistant to the DG.
Lero Mokalago from Ministry.
Monwabi Simeklin from Capacity Development in the Department.
Archibald Zubugile Figlen, one of the portfolio members.
To
abandon Machoba, member of the portfolio committee.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria Bourbon, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Nokaya Adelaide Kamnisi, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Doris Labute, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Pakase Bone, member of the Portfolio Committee.
A.C. Mashishi, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Johnny Fanavis, Liaison Committee Assistant.
Siyabonga Mkhwanazi from Independent Newspaper.
Suzette Kirkpatrick, I represent the Economic Policy Research Institute.
Good morning, I'm Pam from PNG.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Anton Orenson, the National Department of Human Settlements, and kindly accept my apologies for the late arrival.
Over to you, Wayne.
Thank you, Chair. I will preface the presentation by, as Chair indicated, reminding members that in December or November, we made a presentation on the general approach and track that we are following. Some of the extracts from that will be part of this presentation. And secondly, I think we also make this presentation aware of the next presentation that will take place next week on the MTF budget discussion ahead of the budget speech. Quite a lot of detailed information as to the activities of the first year, 2010-11, will be encapsulated in that presentation. We present here what we consider the key issues that come out of the strategic approach that we're taking, covering the five years, and also reflect on those aspects that have been reflected in the State of the Nation address. Which is not about all what we do, but those key issues that the presidency has prioritized as the basis on which they will measure the minimum delivery that we will be doing, accepting that the mandate is wider than just those issues. Chair, because of the strategic planning, we also will start with the aim, vision, mission, and values, which are really issues of governance and principles, and then go to the meat of the discussion later. Our aim as the Department of Human Settlement is to determine, finance, promote, coordinate, communicate, and monitor policy in respect of housing and human settlement. Chair, we remain with a vision of a nation housed in sustainable human settlement. We recognize that, as the Constitution does, the house that creates the shelter for the home will remain at the center. We also recognize that there are other issues of sustainable human settlement that complete the requirements for sustainable settlement. Our mission is to facilitate an environment that provides sustainable human settlement. Our values, as espoused in the Constitution, are to be accountable, fairness and equity in all our programs as we develop policies. Key in the process is to always check whether the policy provides fairness, it does provide equity, choice, quality, and affordability. That means there must be ability for the citizens, the beneficiaries, and the communities to have choice. We have added the issue of quality because it has become a problem. Recognized, I think, by the Portfolio Committee in their visit. And then affordability is always at the center. Sustainability intervention, and then one of the particular principles, particularly as dealing with our internal management arrangement. And just as a reminder, Section 26 provides our mandate, which deals with access to adequate housing as a basic human right, requiring government to ensure that there is an environment that is conducive to progressive realization of this right. Schedule 4 we then that makes housing a concurrent national and provincial legislative function. Chairperson, we take cognizance of the principles that were espoused in the Batipizi Housing Accord of 1994, which, when one looks at it, was already a recognition that we should not just concentrate on housing alone. And I think it was the first basis for creating an accord, which was followed by further engagement in terms of a stakeholder engagement. RDP remains also a basis that sets out the framework and principles for our sustainable development. These are the acts that have been passed by this Parliament, which we are managing, the basis of which we develop our program. The Housing Act is at the center, prior to the extent that it deals with the issues of managing illegal eviction and the rights related thereto. I think the committee is much more aware of the nuances that are related to that. The Housing Consumer Protection Measures Act, which creates the NHBRC as a protection for consumers from unscrupulous activity or inadequate delivery by the construction sector. Rental Housing Act and obviously the provincial level, there are various acts that have been passed. Home loans and mortgage disclosure act. The new one, Water Services Act, which deals with aspects of the sanitation mandate. Quite a lot of work we is currently engaged with regard to how we model and everything else to ensure that that is quite aligned to our program and what areas does it then contribute to, with particular emphasis to dealing with the rural deficiencies with regard to sanitation. For it, our urban program already has provided in it and have embedded in it provisions for the infrastructure, household infrastructure required to deal with sanitation issues. This program, Chair, concentrates largely, not exclusively, but mainly with dealing with the rural sanitation issues. And then it deals with the broad aspects of informal settlement sanitation in areas where that are extremely vulnerable, which may not be in the pipeline for development as an interim measure, but largely it concentrates on rural. Housing Development Agency, which you passed last year, a few years ago, Chair, Social Housing Act, which are being operationalized. the current cycle and rate for processing is the Housing Amendment Bill 2010. The aim being to ensure that it does provide all of those things that remain unattended to with regard to the new mandate and some of the things that ensure that we are aligned with other legislation that is associated with key aspects, such as the Public Finance Management Act provisions, since it was passed later. Personal Title Schemes Management Bill the communications schemes ombudsman service scheme. I'm not getting clear whether there has been presentations here on those, but I know there have been, we've had provincial hearings with the, for the public. Chair, we can put them on the program very quickly so that we can, the committee can be able to understand what is it that we're dealing with regard to those, to those. But some of them also help us in dealing with issues of special titles in order to promote, for an example, the problems of administration for those kinds of things, including the contribution to improving the Randall program. Then the Randall Housing Bill 2010 that will be coming to the portfolio committee. So, Chair, we can then, once, I think these two that I've mentioned have already been drafted. We went the first round to cabinet and they endorsed and said we must then consult upon them before we submit to the committee. So we can put those in the program for the committee members to be aware of. The new National Housing Code, I think we've had discussions on this code. Continues to be the basis for the regulation of the housing development processes, largely as a guideline that helps in this regulation and ensure that we are consistent and compliant with prescripts pertaining to, for example, procurement and norms and standards. The Red Book, which is about to be redesigned in the next 2 years to recognize again the current situation. Guidelines for environmentally efficient low-cost housing. It is also in the process of being reviewed and revised to look at the aspects of energy efficiency beyond what it currently contains, in conjunction, for example, with the key departments responsible for dealing with the challenges of the green challenges and energy issues, to look at where, for example, the mainstreaming possibly of aspects that deal with solar energy into the program rather than as an exception. Members will remember that we have tested some of these things, Ivanimvula, and one or two other projects as pilots. We now think that it is not a bad idea. It is helping the community. I think it's contributing to the indigency policy, reducing the pressure on local government if we're dealing with these things. Obviously, there are opportunity costs. We will do those over time to see how much we are saving other people by actually doing these small changes in the program. Strategic overview, again, the conduct of our program continue to be under responding to the issues of rapid urbanization and migration. Chair, we've had a discussion with the committee on this. The population growth challenges, the household formation, and the diminishing size of households. Somebody might say this should be contributing to a reduction, but because we are looking at household life, even though they are becoming smaller, they are becoming more, and with an unemployment and other social pressures that contribute that are there, you therefore end up with a backlog that becomes dire. Because there are more people who fall within the qualifying group. The informal settlement growth as a result of that, and I think the issue of lack of access to basic services, which we are seeking then to address. Chair, that question of unbalanced property markets, with some of the markets, what you would call the first world, meeting the first world standards, largely the upper income, the properties that you see in Cape Town, for example, having been one of the best performing high income markets in the world. Yet, in the narrow, very low cost housing, there's been a very insignificant growth. But in some areas, because of some interventions, you are seeing a change in this, with some of those properties becoming getting value in the market. But that remains a problem, and we want to address going forward. Iron sustainable development choices sometimes that we find. Part of this, Chair, we did indicate that in South Africa, roughly 12.5 million households can be categorized into the following main groups: formal settlements, formally proclaimed and informally proclaimed townships, which generally have secure tenure, whether it's rental or whatever, but then it's secure tenure, you would have an address, everything. Generally with formal houses, sometimes you may find backyards, informal structures, etc., etc. Sometimes it's areas that have already been serviced, but where households have built informal structures, expecting therefore to get their house at the time when that is delivered. They are generally surveyed and proper access to one or more formal basic services supplies. Generally, these are good areas. Then we have the informal system and settlement, estimated at about 1.2 million households, which have been extracted and put as an area of concentration in the outcomes-based approach that we will deal with later. The general unproclaimed inhabitable ground, land not surveyed properly, not regulated properly, unserviced largely. Because the choices are not scientific, you may find that quite a lot of them are in dangerous location. Some may be well located, even though they may be. I think if we learn from the N2 gateway, for example, in dealing with the kind of thing that we have there, to develop that property, you then need to remove soil because it used to be a dumping site. And I think we're already having another discussion of that nature in some areas in the District 6 project, where we are told that we may have to remove something like 1.5 meters of topsoil if we are to develop in that kind of approach. So as I was saying, these are the kinds of challenges that you don't often find everywhere, and they have to be financed appropriately, and etc. But largely most of the settlements is the situation. Maybe what I have left here is that most of these settlements are extremely dangerous and so, because they are not properly planned. Now, it's not medium density, well, or that is in order. Then there is settlements in tribal or communal land, and settlements on farms. The last two are really what you would call those programs, that those settlements that require then a different approach, a rural program for solution. Farm worker program and the rural housing program. So I think the last time we took the numbers, these were the kinds of challenges with regard to basic services that we have to, at this stage, facilitate in conjunction with the mandated department in ensuring that we deliver human settlements in its totality. That's why the coordination of planning and everything is now critical. But I will come back to all that later. Chair, what is a little bit more about the organization and maybe some of the unstated trends that arise out of that. In South Africa, there is a notion of and a tendency or preference of rural residents for many households in cities. I remain an urban, a rural based person who resides in an urban city. As a Tisalva, you will not find me somewhere. You will find me elsewhere. And I suspect probably half of people present here, or maybe more than that. But we see a trend where migration to urban areas is increasingly becoming permanent or semi-permanent. Chances of that being there, children may go less than I am to those areas. This is a trend that neglecting we need to remain focused on. Urbanizations also, I think, affected internationally to be irreversible and growing. It is our attempt to then, in providing choice through the program, to provide the possibility for either doing reducing rather than accelerating, where people make the choice to reverse, to go back to the to farm, etc., etc., in those areas. There's been urban consolidation since 1960s. I think I did a presentation that showed the trend where have people been consolidating settlements in, and we realized that they were almost in the same area. Durban, Cape Town, to some extent you would find them from the province of British London, and largely in Gauteng, and I think in the 90s, around Rustenburg, Polokwane, etc. Those trends, I did present those slides previously. But though it indicates that there must be something pulling people towards those areas. And if you look from an economic perspective, you will see that those are the areas where most jobs, one way or the other, through natural resources that are discovered through mining, etc., have been growing. I meant to the issue of addressing of the informal settlement in general. And the problem, we're not just saying addressing, but because you don't have an address, you sometimes do not have some of the steps that are required, that are generally accepted to be things that are normal in another residence. I don't want to speak, but I think the issue that does not contribute positively, for example, to issues of safety, crime fighting, etc., as well. Maybe I have stated quite a lot of things in this. I will run through very quickly and choose those that have not been there. I think the conditions that are contributing to some of the human settlement challenges, as I stated, rapid urbanization, structural unemployment, and the informality of these areas. I think in the last couple of years, there's been the impact of the economic downturn. And I think that one sharply contributed to diminishing access to housing finance. In South Africa, we found two things almost happening at the same time. There was a rigorous regulation of the credit environment with the new credit act, and that occurred almost at the time of the start of this inflationary trend that we have seen. That has not helped in increasing access to housing finance, particularly for those households that do not qualify, but do not earn enough. More households falling in the subsidy income band, because if people lose employment, then they no longer are providing their own housing. I think the issue of diminishing bulk infrastructure, spare capacity, is beginning to, for example, result in problems for development. Because if there is no infrastructure, our approach is that you must build in areas where you can provide full access and full suite of services. social and geographical disparities, input cost, chair, construction material, chair, prices, and general capacity, competition, for example, with the major infrastructure programs that have been in the last 3 or 4 years, including the stadium. We believe now is the opportunity for us to quickly engage as people are moving out of those big programs, bring them back by working out what exactly would be required so that they don't run to these other countries but may be starting to accelerate their own infrastructure programs. That's what the minister is beginning to do. I think there will be, for example, discussions, a conference on the emerging contractors later in the year, early parts of the coming financial year, to deal with the issues that are concerning them and seek to get a particular court with regard to that. But we also want, in conjunction with that, discussions with a bigger one to see what would be a proper way of structuring a training arrangement between the two sectors. Built environment, governance, networks, all of these things that are problematic with regard to governance in the built environment, which I think largely are things that we are, as governments, national, provincial, and local government, seeking to ensure they're dealt with. Regulations around that are not contributing to improved service delivery. Sustainability, I think climate change and related issues. And disasters, if I may add, to this. Chair, the pillars of the strategy, as indicated in the document that we gave, I'm not going to go to the details, most of it is there. And I'm sure over the during the course of the year we can begin to engage on some of them in much more detail. Also accepting that we did present them previously. Pillar one is just a process issue that helps us in dealing with the rest of the pillars, which I would say they are contributors to the system. Because it demands, we have to define the sort of outcomes that are now probably linked to the approach that President is using with regard to their monitoring. In that, we did a proper full analysis of the prevailing realities, the mandate issue. We measured documents such as the manifestos and the manifesto of the ruling party, which largely drives the policy for government, the state of the nation address, the budget speech, and I think later you will see the budget speech of the minister that made them make the announcements with regard to key areas. Sort of provide the substance with regard to some of the key areas that will require attention for the coming year. We also looked at issues of sustainability so that we do not make the same mistakes that have been made previously. And therefore, the reality being questioning whether what you are putting in place today is sustainable tomorrow. Is it going to not contribute to a situation where you get criticized for the wrong choice in future? I think, Chair, critical in this cycle, which we emphasize in the documentation, is the issue of managing the macro coordination and alignment of the various issues that are key to development of sustainable human settlement. We will spend a lot of time this cycle, certainly this year, to start to put proper structures. We also don't want to make mistakes again in the process and put structures that may not lend themselves to efficiency. So, without making excuses, I think also working with the presidency, we would want some patience with regard to dealing with these things thoroughly. I'll come back to some of the things that are in the process. But what is critical is that we're leaving this, the concept of alignment, presidency, treasury, and in the cluster, the various departments that we are working with, in order to ensure that we reach better outcomes. Organization and special management issues, which are now going to get sharp focus, again, to ensure that there is a proper structure, process, and to deal with some of those things. We look at what would be then the key priorities out of that. We'll come back to those. Residential property development, shelter development, and what aspects have been chosen out of that. Then, paradigm shift five, sorry, pillar five, deals with the transformational issues, some of which I've already dealt with. For example, like we see much more engagement with the stakeholders to get to change some of the approaches that we've used, both inside government as well as outside government. Institutional realignment. Chair, in the SONA, there has been a pronouncement of ensuring that in delivery, in a mix of the delivery of housing, green fields and everything, we must ensure that we accelerate the upgrading of informal settlements of at least not limited to the 500,000 in the next 4 years, because that's almost 4 years left by 2014. We also want to extend the development of affordable rental housing stock, particularly in those areas that seem to have a pull effect to households. The objective being to increase the rate of affordable rental housing of at least 20,000 units per annum. In order to achieve all of this, we also want to ensure that we give attention to the land assembly process in unit settlements. We did the calculations that seek to determine what would be the net result from what is already in plans in provinces for land for rent requirements, and ensure that we can then seek to provide then the full suite of what is well located land for particular areas, particularly as you do the upgrading as well as providing and housing in those well located land areas. We also want to be able to have a proper national settlement infrastructure development program that ensures that a sufficient bulk, as I indicated, is a challenge, is now provided and invested on to help us therefore connect the basic services that are required by each of the communities. And developments that we are putting in place. We also want to concentrate on facilitating increased supply of affordable housing finance to help those people whose salaries are too high to get government subsidies, but then too little in terms of the current mortgage numbers, that sort of amounts for mortgage that they can get from banks. Maybe it's wrong to concentrate on mortgage, but just finance in its different facets. In translating this program, Chair, we are currently, we have in the sector at least already our first workshop with the various departments. On the 12th of February, day after, so we had been in the workshop and we had it around here too, in Cape Town, where we are starting to say we trying starting to map out the process we need to have in order for each department to come to the party with regard to the planning process, their contribution to the areas that will be planned which are included in the provincial plan. And that process, Chair, as has been indicated, will culminate into what are called delivery agreements. That will give particular contractual focus and accountability for each of the parties that are expected to deliver, to contribute to sustainable development, to deliver that for us to then be able to contribute our part. Yesterday we were having a discussion with President in regard to some of the issues. Process classifications, etc. And we were able to resolve almost all of them. We are now currently working on some of the things that we were discussing yesterday. We will be having the next session, workshop. I think, Chair, we will extend an invitation to a representative of people from the portfolio committee in those discussions. But there we want to, because we're seeking to have a discussion that includes the political head of the various departments, to then seek to provide meat to some of the commitments that must be made. For the President expects that by the end of April, our minister will go to account to our ministers responsible to lead each of the outcomes, will then account as to where they are and what contributions have been made by whom, so that they can be tied to those outcomes. In our discussion, we were mapping out who are the core members that are required, who are the supporting members of the delivery forum, and where which partners are mandated by whom. For example, HDA is under us. We look at their plan. We want to make sure that their plan contributes to our program. And then we'll put we'll then be able to enforce and lead them to the process, to the delivery of their mandate, which is land, as we assembly land for this development. We're doing this under the Human Settlement and Basic Services Delivery Forum, under the cluster social services cluster, achieving our outcome of human settlements, sustainable human settlements, and improved household life. These are the departments, Chair, that are key. In the various levels, core members and the supporting partners will come back to that. We then, in the short term, require the provinces to structure themselves also up in the same manner and ensure that they create the same thing, so that they can also have their own delivery forum that contributes also to our core business. And their core members may not necessarily be the same. If I make an example, at a national level, education is an important partner, but it's not core. They do not have the money, they don't have the money to provide, they don't build schools, etc. But at a provincial level, in the human settlement, if you leave them out and support, you are making a mistake, because they actually directly responsible. They are part of us, etc. I'm just making that example because it became very clear that we need to be that meticulous, that detailed with regard to how we define the roles when we draw the contract under the delivery forum that will be signed by those members. That it be clear what their role is with regard to those. So, again, the departments responsible for human settlements, whether they are called housing and local government, which is what has happened now, but they will continue to be there. They will have to be the core and lead members at the provincial level. We will help them structure this with them and the local municipalities. And you can see that we are seeking to ensure that those municipalities that are critical at the, that have been identified are also participants directly, so that their issues are addressed in that forum and before they commit themselves to deliver of those areas. Chair, I think that is the overall strategic track. In the document, later part of the document that is circulated, Chair, you will see how some of the issues, some of which are not that that high level, but for which we have to account because either they support the delivery of them. And they are all outlined in detail in the grid and fora and format. That each of the programs that will then next week be discussing budgets of are going to be doing. But maybe just to highlight without specifics, starting with program one as we are structured in the national department. The administration, it provides for the financing of strategy of the support for strategic leadership, administration and management support services to the department, and it consists of the executive support to the DG's office, the internal audit, risk management, and special investigations, which is where the FIU is accountable to, in the office of the DG, to the internal audit unit, human resource management, which is critical if we are to achieve all of the things that we are doing, corporate services, information technology systems, and legal services. The information technology and systems is absolutely critical in contributing and supporting, for example, and providing the infrastructure that will support even our monitoring programs that we are putting in place and information management. Then the legal services. Program two, housing. Generally, program one is same standards from department to department, and therefore the objectives are the same, and I won't get into details in terms of what they do, so there's fairly general issues. Then program 12 is the program that deals with the policy, research, and monitoring. Chair, largely we recognize that largely policies are in place, there is a need for review of certain areas, improvement, for example, as I indicated, those key documents that contribute, like your housing code, the red book, etc. This program's strategic goal is to manage the development, promotion, monitoring, and evaluation of sustainable human settlement policies and programs, which should be supported by a responsive research. Strategic objectives are through the three sub-programs that are there. The one in policy, which is about developing national sustainable human settlement and housing policy. Research, managing and coordinating responsive research. Monitoring and evaluation, which is to monitor the performance and evaluation and evaluate the impact of the policies and programs across the country. Key aspects, I think, I'll just list them, Chair. Policy will deal with the maintenance and promotion of the National Housing Code. By maintenance, we mean when there are needs based on evaluation or practice or demand for a new policy will put in place. Where there is a need for change in policy because things are not working or inadequate, or a program needs to be developed to guide how the policy is to be interpreted and implemented. This is what will be done. Develop contract documents and application forms for farm residence housing program. Chair, this is what we're committed to do when we presented this program. At the time when we finished it, we will do that and achieve this. Review and finalize inclusionary housing program. We are doing a complete review of the finance-linked subsidy program because the current one seems to have not had a good take-up, and that's likely because one, there's been incongruence between the stock to be supplied and the qualification criteria. The 10% provision, the average of 10%, or it was sliding to something like 18%, depending on your level of income. 18% for those closer to 3,500, about 18 to 20%, and then a smaller about 10% for those far, I think closer to 8,000. The stock that has been available in the market has been far in excess of the 10% that can be provided by that. So we're doing a review to then upgrade it and make sure that it does address that. We will do so simultaneously with the program that will be provided around how we agree with the financial institutions on the guarantee, accessing of the guarantee going forward. I want to provide details by discussing the discussion stage, those matters, and the actual announcement of the details with regard to that will be made by the minister to occupy the time we present the budget speech with regard to the details of that mortgage. Conduct structured workshops with stakeholders on national housing code. Because the code was finished and stamped and approved by late in the current year, we will then develop a program to popularize it across the country, help people understand it further, particularly at the professional level. This gets done in conjunction with our capacity development program. Research. There's been work done on research. We aim to do at least 4 research reports on various things that allow us to understand the impact and everything and how our programs are perceived, implemented, and again also benchmarking with international standards. And we want to have at least 4 reports on the themes that are indicated there. And then and the trend analysis of how we are performing and the environment and changes that are taking place there too. Monitoring and evaluation. Implement monitoring and evaluation, impact assessment of policy guides. They also produce reports of what they have seen on the ground. We've seen reports that show how the findings on the extent of occupants, for example, etc. Those will continue to be done as we seek now to put corrective policy programs. And therefore the link between what they do and what policy does, because they fit into the policy process. So we'll produce 2 occupants or defining reports per annum on identified chosen provinces and projects and evaluation impact evaluation reports. Those, Chair, when produced and validated, can be presented to the portfolio committee as and when we agree in the coming years. Also, both here and those in there's quite a lot that has already been done that can be shared with the committee. Program 3 provides for housing planning and deliver support to programs. Now, this is deliver support, not the actual delivery provision to programs. To the stakeholders that are provided, for example, to provinces, to municipalities. This strategic goal is to provide implementation and delivery support in designating the building of capacity, liaison and communication with stakeholders, management of intergovernmental and international relations for housing and settlement programs. It's achieved through through the sub-program, human settlement planning, which is now dealing with management of human settlement, programmatic planning framework, and support the implementation of human settlement development, design, and spatial planning. That's what that gentleman is responsible for. Stakeholder mobilization deals with management of the relations, engagement, collaboration with stakeholders, and that includes how we respond to some of the technologies that people are bringing from time to time, and clarification of issues with regard to what people can do. But lastly, you know the stakeholder, what is that forum? The stakeholder forum that we, and the plenary that we normally organize, social, under the social compact, is managed under this. Program implementation support is providing support to provinces and municipalities to unblock, largely to unblock stalled projects. It also helps where at post-planning before implementation, where there are aspects that require a national intervention and to guide the process with regard to that. Rural housing and NHP, I think with the committee from Surrey has always been there. This is the PHP and Rural Social Housing Program, and to provide the regulatory support and oversight over the Rural Social Housing and PHP sector. Capacity building, to develop and secure capacity in the sector. Priority projects coordinate the achievement of sustainable human service in identified national priority projects managed next to me here. Then we have the new sanitation program, which ensures the delivery of sanitation through policies and regulations. And that's the one I was saying, it's emphasis for now is largely going to be on rural sanitation requirements. We just extracted some of the key areas, capacity development support, training of, to manage training and skills development program for the various stakeholders, government officials, beneficiaries, emerging contractors, counselors, sector institution policies and strategies, and also collaboration with the training center and some of our institutions, such as NHPRC, on the development of the emerging contractor support. Chair, I think these are listed. I will not go through the details about that, but I'll take questions. Human settlement planning develops and maintains human settlement planning frameworks and instruments. And at this stage, this is a very critical area because for the first time, our interactions and engagement on the plans of provinces before the start of any particular year is critical to ensure that it continues to be directed. And also, when we reach the agreement, these things have been thoroughly implemented and they are in line with our planning framework. Support the implementation of human settlement development, design, and spatial planning at provincial level. We support the implementation of human settlements and housing development planning frameworks at the municipal level as well, and render to municipalities in the preparation of human settlement sector plan. We want to be. I think the biggest criticism of the department comes from this house with regard to the extent to which we have presence in assisting and ensuring that provincial plans, sorry, municipal plans, deal appropriately and adequately with the sector plans from this sector. Appropriate human settlement sector officials and municipal councillors will also be assisted with skilling and training to facilitate the compilation of the human settlement chapters of IDP. That's where, that's part of our presence in that space. Participation and annual review of municipal ICPs. That means after this has been done with the reviews and everything, they get evaluated again in line with their objectives so that we will ensure that at no stage do they remain outside of that. Promotion of the institutional alignment of planning with other sectors. That's where it's going to be managed. Institutional alignment with sector departments, participation at quarterly performance reviews of the provincial housing department, and in fact, leading that process, rendering the advisory services and assistance as the settlement design and special planning is done. Program implementation support, produce reports on a number of information sessions conducted with provinces on the strategy to unblock stall projects. What we're doing at this stage is, as part of ensuring that we clean up some of the problems that already exist that are in the process, this program is going to largely concentrate on dealing with unblocking and making sure that those projects that have been blocked are unblocked. Provinces have developed plans. This program helps in ensuring that we follow up on those plans and we guide and assist with regard to that. We want to achieve a situation where we do not have blocked projects by the end of the term, and all of them have been adequately mainstreamed into the new program for delivery of human settlement, and that then we deal with blockages proactively rather than reactively. And then we also want to have and introduce an early warning system that identifies areas where projects may be blocked, so that you don't only discover when it has already been blocked and probably a contractor has already walked off the site, and therefore you would enter into have difficulties in bringing them back, and there would be costs you get in doing so. And then they also provide support required for informal settlement upgrading projects. They also deal with the management of and providing support to the upgrading program, producing reports on the blockages. Of course, they have to do a proper analysis of that. Again, they also feed into the monitoring, evaluation, as well as the policy program to ensure that the policies are adjusted to cater for those things. Priority projects, I think Chair deals with priority projects. The management, helping the planning, accounts to the accounting officer to ensure that those projects are put in place appropriately and in line with policy. And I won't get into details of that again, Chair. Rwanda Housing Program also deals with the management, facilitation and support to the development of the various aspects of our Rwandan program and the PHP program. Chair, you remember that we had used to have an institution called PHP, which was totally insufficient to support. It was then mentioned to the department. We've got a directorate that deals with PHP program. Chair, I think all of this has been listed in the program. Stakeholder mobilization will continue to be a key aspect to catalyze and facilitate our engagements with stakeholders, ensuring that we manage the social contract appropriately. And that the issues raised as strategic for improving and changing the environment are managed and are done through the implementation of the framework of engagement. As I say, over time, in one particular year, in the coming year, the major emphasis is going to be few seconds, we'll be concentrating on the banking industry and the construction sector in its entirety. We'll also engage with the other sectors necessary. I've already opened and reopened the engagement with, for example, the cooperative sector. I think firstly to outline and see what opportunities can they use in our program, and also to ensure that there is an appropriate policy response to the support that they may require out of that. Accepting that the cooperative sector is not managed, is not necessarily regulated under our department, but our partners in that sector, those that concentrate on housing, then are able to respond to our program, vendors, and those who want to manage, for example, self-built and self-finance access, are able to have those programs aligned to our program. Their requirements aligned to our program. Chair, I will then leave the rest because they are part of the current arrangement. Such as, for example, the management of the engagement, the memorandum, and partnership, etc. Sanitation program then manages the policy and strategy and norms for the provision of sanitation. Because this is a new program, we are reshaping it so that it is aligned and proper response to our program. But coming out of what it was doing, we're saying they may continue to do some of the issues in the manner that is responsive to the program itself, like the support to municipality in planning and implementation, that is related to the sanitation program. Skills development and capability coordination in the sanitation sector. They also deal with the health and hygiene activity plan that ensure that we provide both the plans themselves, which we have to review, and secondly, I think the related linkage with our capacity program for ensuring that as you deliver your sanitation program at your theater, for example, in the rural areas, you also could deliver an information program that around hygiene requirements for that program. So that people can understand that you need to manage it appropriately and in order to ensure that we don't reach a stage where we get into those illness, cholera, outbreaks, etc. Programs to improve citizens and stakeholder awareness, understanding and prioritization of the sanitation will be implemented through this program. There is also, Chair, they come to the department, which may not be included. Yeah, okay. They come into the department with a number of global contributions that they have been making from water. There is a structure that they are keen in dealing with, which is called AMCAP, which is an African structure, equivalent to AMCAD. In the housing. So we're looking at those, and given that now they are in our program, we would need to ensure that there is alignment of those participation checks. Program 4, general as a program, deals with the management of financial management and supply chain management of the acquisition, and also we manage a system that is used by provinces with respect to what I call old business, the debtors that were inherited 1993-94 of people who were given loans for whom there were developments done, largely in the colored areas and the Indian areas. But also, I think poor whites, what you would call poor whites, in terms of the way it was functioning. Chair, some of those properties are today very high value properties. They have to manage, they have to repay those things to the extent that they do not fall within the qualifying criteria posted for. And the rest that fall in that are managed through what you call discount benefit scheme. That means if they pay it, they get given a subsidy equivalent to subsidy. And if the value of the property is above, then they take responsibility for that. But if they qualify, they get the full property and it's settled through that mechanism. It also manages the budget process and the grant services. And that's where the housing equity, which includes the management of standard home loans and mortgage disclosure activities. Largely, there are three sub-programs, financial services, funds management, and the housing equity under this program. Financial services is dealing with generally the financial management of the department. Fund management deals with largely the provincial allocation, the various grants, and currently also working on the coordination mechanism with regard to our engagement with our stakeholders as we seek to deal with a better coordination or later probably amalgamation of the various grants into one, which are processes that we will be managing during the course of this year. Housing Equity deals with the Office of Disclosure Function. Chair, I may say the office itself has not been placed due to several reasons. We are going to have the Minister set up the selection team, which will be chaired by the Deputy Minister. I'm not certain whether there have been any invitations. But it will deal with the appointment of the office finally. Banks, however, have been managed through the secretariat and the directory that we have in providing the report. Various reports have been provided in the department up to the minister. If you remember, Chair, the regulations were passed in 2008, and then subsequently that banks started to where to start what according to at the start there were many challenges, about 15 banks, of which in 2008 four asked for exemption, and then in 2009 all of them provided reports for the financial year FIDI 2009. And we expect them to continue in the current year. The minister has indicated that he will concentrate on issues that emanate from the reports we have out of this. Again, at an appropriate stage, Chair, we could summarize the information and do a presentation to the portfolio committee about some of these reports. We will just have to be sensitive to the unintended consequences that may arise out of those in terms of how those affect the pension and how they perform, etc., etc. The minister is not so sensitive to those, but he wants to make sure that each bank understands that they are expected to have responsibility with regard to the provision of home loans with regard to this. So our strategy of the guarantee is going to be linked to performance also in relationship to this. And I think I don't want to get into the details with regard to that. The minister will make those at an appropriate stage. But I think you will see more work on this. Let me hasten to say that at the time when we passed the regulations and started to to implement the act. That was almost simultaneous as the time of the implementing of the Credit Act. And then there were some of the objections that, or issues and concerns or whatever it was, that were coming out from the banking sector, for example, were that they perceived that we are duplicating what is in the act. Yet we were requiring more detailed information with regard to practices in the provision of home loan finance by the sector and in terms of this act. And then there were also discussions with DTI to seek to ensure that there are no such duplications in the system. So the office will be in place and then they will oversee this process, Chair, going forward. We also will, this program also deals with facilitation and monitoring and reporting on the performance of the various investment partnerships that we have on the ministry. Lastly, to date, we've been looking at how the markets are performing. You see, APSA issues their own report, FNC issues their own report. We want to reach a stage where there is a human settlements report on this trend that is not biased towards a particular institution, but dealing with this trend in general. Chair, these figures are provisional. They are estimates based on performance, which is, I think, the details that we can deal with next week. But we expect somewhere around 220 units, maybe less if, for example, policy implications. Policies changes with regard to increasing some of the subsidy related to this particular area, such as fleet. If you adjust that, may reduce this. But I think going forward with Treasury and as a result of the program put by the first president, we anticipate that we should be able to catch up in the next 3 years to the end of the year, such that we reach our target. Because one of the key things of our outcome is that we must now work out exactly what will require as a result of that, and if there are additional resources, they should be prioritized in line with the prioritization process. We get these figures just as indicative numbers. The current year up to the end of January, about 180,000 units. So I think where there was misinterpretation by the media of a reference to one project in Limpopo in the present, which creating an impression that there is nothing happening. I think that was sort of unfortunate, but that is what is happening. And Chair, as you will recall, nothing has stopped yet at the various provinces in completing what is there. And this is the outcome of what that is. Program 5 deals with strategic relations and governance. And lastly, deal with the strategic goal of coordinating the department's mandate within the intergovernmental relations framework. We also have our international program then promote good governance practices within the department and its public entities, provide reports and integrated business information to the department. That's where information management, the HSF, is located. It's through the following programs, a program that deals with the NDC's governance and oversight, deals with oversight on housing institutions, they produce what they engage with the institution's quarterly performance report, analyze them, and very often we write with regard to all and anything that we that are of concern with all of those institutions. And raise the issues with their boards. Information management services deals with the provision of information management services. Intergovernmental relations and international relations deals with the intergovernmental program coordination and international relations for human settlement. We also have in this program strategic management, which is a unit that helps develop this strategic plan and work out in identifying, developing performance plans, index indicators, and then monitor on a quarterly basis how the programs are performing. The transformation unit, the communication services, the generic programs. I think, Chair, I deal with what each of these are doing, and I think I will not go through every detail. Entities and government oversight. Our international relations program. You will have, we currently prioritize the support to human settlement development in Angola as a contribution to the President's agreement, bi-national agreement. DRC, which relates to the cooperation that agreement that was there, looking at how do we revise it in order to ensure that we're able to provide a practical outcome out of that. Not only the sector to do this. IPSA, collaboration through learning networks, interactive platforms, and between agreements. And these things are included in the implementation agreements. In the cooperation agreements with each of the governments responsible. The Chair will be aware of our continuing Netherlands relationship, which largely was at the center of supporting our social housing program, and have assisted us, for example, in the SRA establishment, the detailed capacity development and retooling the social housing and other housing. We also want to keep the relationships in place with regard to this, because some of them contributed in supporting our social housing, particularly with soft grant that has helped in ensuring that some of our programs are able to deliver quality stock in this sector. The Danish agreement on energy efficiency, which has still financed the pilot in Nantu. Yes. The financing of those the solar panel. China cooperation, World Bank and Cities Alliance support for informal settlement of upgrading knowledge network. We've done through this agreement some analysis of whether or not our informal settlement updating program is working. There is a report that was produced simultaneously. We do a joint analysis with funding that we have received from this Chair. I understand the point that the committee requested to have some dedicated discussion on the cooperative act. And what they are and progress with regard to that. We can provide full details in that presentation with regard to this. As intergovernmental relations, Chair, in line with the need for the accreditation and capacitation of key municipalities that demonstrate readiness to take the program, not all municipalities. Those that will demonstrate the readiness, commitment, and ability to deliver, and they have been identified. We want to accelerate the process of accrediting to them so that they can contribute to the program. And this is largely what this program is concentrating on. It will also be at the center of managing all of this interdepartmental coordination initiatives to improve on the human settlement program, including providing national quarterly visits, evaluation of those intergovernmental frameworks, whether they are working. And I won't get into each of the bullets. Management information system. It was Mr. Mini who program. Sorry, yeah, 11. Yeah. The warehousing of the information for access, it was managing the process of developing this database for what will replace the waiting list, the demand database. We're starting with that. We soon get somebody to manage that process. But that all that information management for reporting, which the reports of which we developed to manage the program, are managed. Thank you, Chair. Those are the programs. I must say there are no numbers in terms of finance, and assuming that those will be taken when we deal with them. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting GG. That was a mouthful and rich, comprehensive, you may call it. progressive. Presentation. I think we have to thank the department because really that was not an easy task. We must be honest. It was not easy. But under the leadership of the minister and the acting DG, we need to commend the work that has been done so far. And it is the portfolio committee a lot to do. I think when we go to our third plan, honorable member, I think we must protect our mind. Because I thought when I was looking at this presentation, you are welcome with and your apology was also forward. So I thought wrong with nothing. When you listen to the presentation, it's really intensive and it gives a lot of time. One of the members will remember, we recall that the Parliament has taken a decision to say, currently, they are going to review the budget of the committee. Previously, there was that one size fits all. So now, committees are going to be financed in terms of their progress. Oversight program. So I think this is more than what we thought as the portfolio committee. We have to work very hard to ensure that we play oversight of this one, this over this thick document. You may underestimate this one, but this one is also different than this one. I think it is even more. Information what we received is even more from what you see from the presentation of what we received from the acting DG. So it is going to cost us a lot. Our energy, we have to focus our energy to ensure that we monitor. And I'm very happy about this sanitation program, more especially in the rural areas. You know, Mr. Labantu mentioned that some of us, we have dual residential areas, because we find that when we live in Cape Town, I go to Makati. Makati is a small town, but I also go to my home village. And when you get there, you feel things are not good. So I think we have got to
go an extra mile to ensure that those permits receive a proper service. I think we can now begin to engage with the presentation. Over to you, Honorable Members. Thank you. Honorable Nagude, Honorable Machoba, Honorable Mashishi, Honorable Bamu Gwanya, Honorable Kasibume, Honorable Abu Ketula. Oh, singing it is not right. You will be the last. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to thank Mr. Lahan for the session. But I think it is on the rural and communal land program. Your program there is not that clear. And I want to know, what plans do you have in place for those people in the rural area who are unable to complete their houses due to retrenchment or death of the breadwinners? If I may say, they leave their structures incomplete while they are kids living in those structures. What program does the department have to assist in completing those structures rather than to build a new house at all? Another thing is the monitoring system in the building of houses, especially in the rural areas. How do you plan to do that? Because in the past we have seen that those contractors who are building those houses are not using quality materials. They do that only to get the money and leave those people with a shut rather than quality houses. I want to know the plans you have in place for those. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Mine have only 100 questions, but I would have asked 3 or over 1 now. When you check on page 22, you made mention of the supply chain management. That's where I'm asking my question, because this is where the corruption comes from. Supply chain management. What are your plans? And the AMD, what are your plans then? And I've just seen this, and I've just read this, but I want to elaborate more. And also, I'm sure my colleague has covered me about this sanitation. I'm so much concerned about rural. You made mention of health and hygiene and all that. And then the department left behind about the toilets there. See, the people are going to rivers and all that. Whereas, I'm sure you have in the program there. And also the third one, there were some figures, 500,000 households for 2014. If you can break that, how much to roll out and how much to urban? The focus now is almost much to urban. Of course, I'm aware that there is an implementation from rural to urban. What is your plan about? Let's take it with the public and the unit. Out of that cabinet, is it 20 to urban, so then 20 to rural for how many? Thank you.
Mine is on page 6, acting director.
on the farm workers. So because some of the farm workers are living on the private land. So I just want to know, how are you going to approach, or maybe what is your approach on that one? And then again on page 7, you talk about the urbanization in irreversible and growing. You saw that, you said that we'll be improvising the choices that people can go back to their farms or to the rural areas. We talked about people going back to the rural and the farm areas. And maybe the last one is on page 9. On slide 17, how are what is your monitoring tool for getting that 20,000 units per year? Thank you, Chairperson.
Areas have been covered, rural concerns, and also how are you going to deal with the banks that are rather reluctant and reticent towards the loaning of raising housing loans? Because to cite an example with Agribank, which we have had to have tussles with, because now it becomes a commercial bank rather than a people's bank, a people's needs bank. Also, it appears as if I'm sorry, I didn't put in the pages, but however, from this the reference, why does it appear as if the provinces are not in sync with the municipal structure? I don't know how you could successfully monitor, or because when we go there, we find that what is on paper really does not actually apply in actual fact in quite a number of categories and instances. And to finish up, the acronyms are too many, and some of us, they are quite repetitive. You don't know, PHP sometimes means this and sometimes means that. So could you please, when you do a presentation, bracket some of these things? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Hasbun.
Thank you, Chairperson. On your slide 7, Mr. Labantu, the community scheme on bank service will take place on all the 9 provinces already. And on the following slide, I just want to understand if when you say the code, the housing code, will include a user-friendly guide. Does this cover persons with disability also? And you're on slide number 12. Is there a difference between informal settlements, the freestanding, and settlements on tribal or communal land? And if yeah, are there differences there? And on your slide 15, this is but just a comment, not a question. I believe poor quality and lack of proper planning also adds to the challenges. Because, you know, when houses are being demolished because of their poor quality, that adds to the backlog, I believe. And slide number 26, bullet number 2, develop contract documents and application forms for farm residence program. My worry here is most of them did not go to school. Will there be other programs? Will there be interpretation for them? Yeah, and your slide 27. Well, the research cover both rural, urban, and farm dweller. And this is now my comment and my last point, Chairperson. The fact that there'll be programs to improve citizens and stakeholders' awareness, understanding, and prioritization of communication is, to me, a very good thing, because it is also going to change the behavior of the people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Another group of women.
Thank you, Chairperson. What else can I say? Whenever you want to. Just a couple of things that I, in a broad sort of comment. First of all, I'm not sure that this is a final document. I think we're still going to get another draft, or is this the final document? That's the one question. The other comment that I want to make is that in going through this, I get a bit of a mixed message, and I'm possibly picking up a bit here with between the role that national plays, provincial and local government. We've mixed up things a bit, and it seems to me that we've taken some of the role from the province and given it to national. Now, I have a bit of a concern about that, but maybe I've picked it up wrong, and you might like to comment on that. The other thing I would like to ask, and coming to some questions, the 6,200 hectare that you have got identified, is that something that you have already identified, the 6,000 hectare? And then, because that seems to translate into what I'm reading here, 400,000 units, which we will be able to deliver by 2014. And then I also just wanted to pick up that 20,000 rental stock, the 100,000 over the 5 years, 20,000 a year. How are you going to prioritize that? Because mainly I would imagine that is going to be in the metros. What is going to be the criteria for you to prioritize that? The other comment I want to make, this 5-year strat plan, we're now already a year on. So we've got 4 years left, and there are
from what I could pick up from the presentation, which was excellent, by the way, it's really good for us to have a document like this, and we thank you for all the hard work you've put into it. But we've got 4 years left, and there seem to me still to be departments that have got to be put in place. Now, it takes time. So in a year's time, we're still going to be looking at this, and we're going to say, now we've just put this department, now we've only got 3 years left. So what is the priority of the department to make sure that we are fast-tracking, and maybe there's already work that's been done on that. I didn't quite understand this pre-94 housing story that you gave us, and the financing of those units. Do I understand, because to me, we're now 16 years down the line, and that should have been taken care of. I think I've missed something somewhere. And we shouldn't still be having to pay off on that. I don't understand that. The other thing, the solar panels. When we had our strat planning weekend, and we had that gentleman came from the alternate energy, Philip. Max. Yes. My understanding was that these alternative sources are too expensive for informal settlements. And I would just like to know your comment about that, because already we are installing those. And obviously you've got a report on that. I'm very concerned about the database information after what you've shared with us here today. But I won't comment on that any further. But it is of great concern, because we've waited a long time to get that input on beneficiaries, and I don't know what else in that database. Perhaps I would leave it there. I do have quite a
But I think before we, I think for the Department to respond, I haven't heard about the disaster affected the area. I don't know whether I missed something on that one, as we all know that that problem is giving us a lot of occasion. So I didn't see it looking the first place. And another issue, I just wanted to check. On page 24, we talk of 500,000. We talk of the total of the estimated service delivery units that we are going to deliver. But I want to check if this includes the set target of that 500,000. And then the other issue is around the research report. At this point, we also need that the department also hold a report on this new innovative technology. Because I remember that we wanted the meeting, while the meeting we had is part of the department. Committed itself to present the report of one country. And then I'm interested on the issue of this Netherlands acronym. Netherlands. I'm subject to correction. The committee went to Netherlands. And there were two issues that were discussed there. In fact, the committee that went for the received
an information about the social health and also the cooperative sector. I think there's going to be a time when the department has to come and bring us on this happening, because there was an organization here in Dover, Hope, which is known as Hope. Not the new Hope. Not the new Hope. And for to deal with the cooperative Johannesburg Hope company. I think we need an information from the company. Why I'm leaving here? The acting seems to be not to be coming here about the cooperative. We do have an education in South Africa, Cooperative Act of 2005. And it mentions the housing cooperative. So if at this stage we are saying we don't have a policy on our side as the Department of Human Settlements, that speaks to that. I think we may need an explanation around that. Because problems, they can be expressed to other departments. For instance, this one is under TI. But the staff programs that are there, they are translated to the different departments. So I think we need to get an explanation, but we don't need the detailed information to give. We'll have to send it in so that we discuss it. Because I think for me, the cooperatives have got a potential, the interpretation, to build the very same community, sustainable and cohesive community. Because we have to start with Barat. We can't remove the Lantan. What Lantan is possible. We also have to strike a balance to ensure that those non-profit organizations are being promoted, that we don't need any detailed information. Can that start from that one? And then there's also this mainstreaming of PST. We don't have a problem. We have accepted that. That's what it is. But when you look at this document, there's copyright here. Because we still mentioned PAT, that's people thousand travel. So I think we have to review this document because it means some of the information. As Honorable Gomen is saying, there's over repetition or whatever. So we will have to double check this document because you can't speak of PHPT. At this day of an age, where yet we know that we have already transformed that unit. And then the last thing I think we have to look at, page 26. I think we need an information about this World Bank and the City Alliance support. We need to get a detailed report on this one, but not today. Is that the homework that we need to deal with that one? For now, I am going to hand over to the department.
Thank you, sir. I will share with my colleague. The responses. I will check if we've covered all of them as well. I'm going to ask Mr. von Kunsten and Mr. Mapisa to respond to those matters that are about the policy itself. There is a question, almost concern, about the loftiness and ambitiousness.
I'm just fighting for the
word. Yeah, it is a concern. Certainly, it is part of a process you would include in your risk assessment. But I'm sure it should not change your need to plan properly. I think it is a caution on the left end of the plan. We believe that the plan is not over-ambitious. We are putting the mechanism right. I sought to explain what is different from now, between now and the past, in terms of the institutional framework and engagement, etc. It's new. I made the point to say, while one recognizes that we could be talking time past, lost, but that time is to spend on trying to put, to correct the structures and everything that wasn't in line with what this administration is saying wanted to achieve, and the mode by which we operate going forward. We believe that if these things are put in place, I personally am confident that we can catch up. If there are variances, they should not be like you achieving 50% of what you want. They should be closer to that, to 100% than 50%. If you don't achieve 100%, certainly we should be around 95%, etc. And in that regard, Chair, we must recognize that there are things that are bad habits in the system. But also there is a lot of things. There are things that are not going to be put afresh. What you require is to focus them and ensure that they are coordinated properly. For an example, you change, this requires that you temper and change some of the plans as they are to ensure that they are. That those plans are already in place, they can change, they're not going to be redone from scratch. And in that regard, Chair, I do believe that with the President cracking the whip, the Minister cracking the whip, there is a chance that yes, it's not 100%, it is not going to be embarrassing outside of that arrangement. The target itself is, if you are looking at informal settlement itself, that target is not overly ambitious. The average delivery we have achieved, again, it's not about have to stop structure in every case, but the process of ensuring that you deal with the information, the fixing of the servicing and everything, so that you can accelerate the delivery of stop structure. What is beginning to emerge in this process is the manner in which, is the extent to which we are able to start by saying, first fix those things that will enable you to accelerate your stop structure delivery. One thing that we have tended in the past to ignore and not recognize as critical in the delivery path, forming a critical part of the path towards delivery. If you don't deal with those, invest on infrastructure for example, ahead of the top structure properly, you are unlikely going to be able to make that. The blockages we have are a testimony to that. And I think this approach is about actually starting there. Fixing those things. In 3 years' time, we'll do a mid-year review. So, 2.5 years' time, we might do a mid-year review. From a budgetary perspective, the process that has been agreed, we won't be able to do a review as we do annual reports and say, where are we with regard to what we had planned and therefore towards the end of the. We will take a view at that point as to whether it is not unachievable. But I think I am convinced that all systems are being geared towards towards achieving that. But that I thought was an opinion. An opinion and an assessment and a caution cannot be wrong. It can only be useful for us to ensure that we respond properly.
Because we are inviting us also to do a very robust oversight function without any excuses, because there will be money. Which is a point that I think we are going to follow up with. What are the areas that we should do oversight on your area? And then I think that we'll discuss as a committee. But it might be caught, because what we don't want to do, that you come in, make a presentation, you're all excited. But I'm going to a meeting tomorrow, I'm going to be reporting this, is Labanzi is doing everything humanly possible to get rid of squats in community in a good place. And at the Orange Farm anyway. But if there's no money, if money is there, it's fine. Actually, I think I'm happy with money. Because sometimes, if there's no money, then it's far important that committees are informed about the real situation. And then, because otherwise, sometimes we think things are feasible because of the report. When we start to do a real oversight function, we realize that sometimes we're taken for a ride. It is very difficult for us then to engage in a manner, because we may feel that we are unfair, we are not considerate, there's no money, we are just going for you. Sometimes departments feel a little bit uncomfortable. But if you are promising us, as we are saying, there's money, we are all on top of you.
I think we've got the money. It must be used efficiently and appropriately. We may also, which is the thing that better planning is dealing with, is ensuring that you target properly and you prioritize properly. And that is what is the exercise being undertaken. But the money is, I don't know. We always want to get more money. But for the plan that we have put, there is money. As to how you want to increase that acceleration, that's what we can. Thanks, Chair. The issue of the bank, I think the minister's approach and our approach with regard to using land appropriately is about finding the mechanism of targeting those areas where there is an indication of substandard delivery. Remember, we are not asking banks generally to recklessly left where they cannot recover their money. What is important is for them to lend in a manner that they are comfortable with the risk, that then we play our role in dealing with mitigating that risk to the best that we can do with regard to government's role in that regard. However, I think when we deal with I did indicate that summarize some of the performance and just provide indicators of those things. For the minister will then deal with the rest in terms of the engagement with the banks, because he wants a focused engagement with each of the CEOs of the banks about issues of their own lending. Not in the millionaire level, in that gap that we want to deal with. In that regard, Sanda does provide that provides for name and shame provision with all its risks. If you are named and shamed as a bank, you are an institution that requires customers, and you may lose customers. Nobody would want to get into that. But the minister is very cautious, says, let's attempt that discussion with each bank, and then if they persist, then we will name them and shame them appropriately. There is a question about PHP, and maybe I can link it to the PHP teaching. In the document, I think in their acronyms, they are acronyms listed. But in my presentation in future, I am going to avoid using those. I do not assume anything. And I apologize for that, because I don't often do that. The issue of the ombudsman, the hearing, I did not go to all 9 bombs. We went to meet the funders, clustering the provincials. Remember, this is the first, this is not the last consultation process, this is the first phase of the consultation process. We advertised in newspapers where these hearings would be. For example, in the Tukava First Aid and Northern Cape, we would have that in Northern Cape First State, the practitioners, those were in Cape, they may have been far, but at least they were advised on time, advertised on time, and what they wanted to do. But that was the first phase of a consultation process, by the way, continue. Because we have not reached the stage where that document is here in Parliament, in which at this stage it will be subjected to yet another process. And if it is deemed to be deemed to have an effect on provinces, NCOP processes also will recognize the process of then taking it to all 9 provinces. Just at the first phase at the input of that. And I think, as I said, there is nothing wrong in us bringing it here just for presentation, the committee, not as part of the process of getting it approved, but for workshopping what is contained in there. I don't think there's anything wrong. Then the formal process of submitting to the policy committee, who will then deal with the process of consultation, will then ensue later, because we are still going to get all those inputs back to cabinet. At that stage, when cabinet is happy, they hand it over to the portfolio committee.
I think that's when we made the committee very good.
Yeah.
But if we look at the KBR presentation, we took quite some time to start the meeting, because we struggle, we find
yeah. I think direct care for disabled person in the housing code, Dick is going to answer to that. I think we do. We do provide for that. We, unlike the previous one, I think we are putting all the necessary processes to ensure that we deliver to electronic copies, and then there is a mechanism for dealing with having it accessible and readable to from that point. I'm not sure which others. It's certainly those people who are blind people who need an mechanism for being able to read it. Yes. But I think the program itself at the construction level, there is a program for disabled people in the area. And it does provide even additional funding for those things that will make disabled people being able to access their house as part of the program itself. Research covers the impact of the various aspects, and it does cover both rural and urban communities, depending on what was being researched in the research itself. So I think let's look at it when we bring the actual research output to the committee. Let me go to Ms. Bowman's question. This is not the final document, but it is close to final document, to being a final document. There are issues we have to take out of the coordination discussions with the president that need to be incorporated in the document. The final document will reflect those, because they were always in process of being clarified around the coordination, the gist, the actual substance of that coordination, and a few other issues that we may get in this discussion that may need to be incorporated. But we think that we have by and large covered widely
most of the issues. The final document that will have been edited will be a close one for the strategic plan, and it will take into account those things.
I note the issue about the worry about conflicting roles or appearing to be transferring what is provincial roles to not to municipality or sometimes to national. yes, that is an issue that is being debated. The pros and cons of that, honorable member, is that at this level, to what extent do you want to hold the minister responsible for certain things? And if you are legitimately doing so, the minister has to ask himself or himself whether he is capable of taking that responsibility, if that is the case. And that's the debate that we are holding as nation. The one point, the one view, and I think that is a prevalent view, I know that Treasury, for example, in my discussion about 2 weeks ago with them, they expressed their concerns with regard to not duplicating what is otherwise a program of a province. And you see it as taking away from province, which we can't, because in terms of law, that it defines the role in terms of the Housing Act that they do. It is our understanding that we want them to continue to do that which they have to do, under support, deliver support. We should have the capacity to intervene and help a province, a municipality that is ailing. What is difficult is if we do not have that capability, then things go wrong as they have from experience. And the issue here is how deep do you get to do those things? And that's where the issue we need to resolve. It is some of us have that view that it should be supported and defined very clearly that it is support. It is the ability, rather the area of concentration we should have, prioritization in terms of the program, is our ability to monitor. And monitor is not doing. It is enforcing that things get done without you yourself doing them. And that is an area that could address.
I think that is the area where you have to clarify. I mean, you have to get deeper on that area. Because if you don't have the capacity in the national level itself, but even that capacity, You know, we've got a good living example of the Eastern Cape.
Yes.
There is an intervention team that was sent there in 2008. Ne? That team is still there. We were there together with you last year. And we got an information that they were not in good relationship. I mean, the province was not happy about the team. They felt that the team is going to take over whatever. So I think you have to make sure that you strengthen. I don't know the better words that we can use.
At
the national level, to ensure that when we are enforcing, people must understand.
Yeah.
Because the officials from the provincial level, they just ignore. The national. So I think there have to be some form of, I don't know, agreements, and I don't know, but you need to come out clearly on that one. You have to work on that one, really, I don't know. But you must make sure that you do something about that. So that when we play our oversight over what you are saying, we must know what, because when we get there, we find something else.
That's correct.
Well, because we are going to interrupt, because this debate is very interesting, and we are here to make sure that we tighten things up, so don't get frustrated by what we are doing.
I just want to add there to say that at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter the vessel through which that is going to flow to get that. The important thing is that we get the delivery on the ground and that it flows smoothly. And I think that is why I'm saying I was a little unclear in going. I mean, I've only done it quickly, but you know, just where we are looking at here, and whether that is to strengthen, you know, what's happening at provincial level, so that they actually perform their functions properly, or whether your capacity increases, so that perhaps, you know, it happens another way directly down to municipal level. That's where I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, it's got to be delivery. We want to stop this dreadful thing. I don't think there's a news bulletin that comes up anymore without toying and all this about service delivery. We want to stop that.
Thanks. I think I've addressed that issue of the years left and the prayer and the extent which we can deal with. So, but I think the I think you mentioned the issue of the land. How are we going to achieve it? The assumption there, and the information comes from work done with the housing development agency at the moment, having identified the areas that will be. But most of it will relate to providing sufficient land. In addition, because at the moment, if you go to each of the provincial plans, there is a provision already for land in relationship to the projects that are already running and in process. That's a net requirement in areas and with a specific emphasis for upscaling of the render, in fact, which will require not too much vast land, but going up in some of the cases, in the inner cities, etc. So that land might appear to be small. It's been validated now over the period. Maybe less, maybe more, that will require. But the areas largely are those areas where land has been identified as being owned by some public entity, Transnet, etc. They are in the land register. We will then be reaching agreements on how that land gets parcelled. But the intention is in some of, in particular in Johannesburg and in Victoria, Cape Town, etc., is to try and densify it as much as possible so that you can maximize the household per head in those areas. And that's the approach. You will see how it works on the ground. I did say that we have researched through piloting as well. We have researched the cost and the benefits of alternative energy sources. We have also piloted some of them. I'm not certain to what extent do people think that it is more expensive than grid, because it may be expensive to them. It may appear to be expensive to the beneficiaries, but it may be costly. So the issue in dealing with this thing is firstly recognizing that it is saving the country the pressure on the energy, financing it appropriately, recognizing the opportunity cost of doing this. From the pilots we have, the unit costs are not very high. The initial cost may go in, but you find that it is not, you incur that initial cost and then think that you do not incur any further cost. In the process, you may be reducing, for example, you are, in fact, reducing the cost of supply, that the pressure to the municipality in terms of the indigency contribution, etc., etc. We are in discussion with minerals and energy so that we can recognize all of those. But there is a desire in the pressure that we have seen on ESCOM and elsewhere to have this thing covered so that there is efficiency that is derived both environmentally as well as for both household and the municipal pressures that are being experienced with regard to this. So they will deal with the basic requirements like heating, water, etc. They may not be able to deal with the luxury of households which they can then buy 60 rand, 40 rand to the normal grid spend. We believe that at the end of the day there is a benefit. There's likely going to be a benefit for us. Again, over the chair, we will engage with all of those scientists. We will not challenge them. We'll just simply ask them to substantiate so that we take the proper route for dealing with this thing. Chair, you've raised a number of things. Chair, what I was saying, in our program, there is cover for cooperatives. But what we notice is that it is inherent in a number of programs that it is that. It is not an attention. For example, if you have social housing institutions, they do not interact with any other part of our program except the social housing program. Yes, cooperatives are also covered there. But cooperatives in accessing housing may not limit themselves to rent-out. They, in fact, by their nature, they also promote self-built, for an example, on a cooperative basis. That is in PHP. So we're saying, rather than responding to them by saying, go to PHP if you want this, go to this, we want to have an engagement that says, can you consolidate in a manner that is creating those linkages between the various programs and instruments so that then they can easily relate to that policy, and you can relate that policy to the list framework legislation under PPI. That's what we will be doing now. In recognition of the fact that we may be perceived to be doing nothing, in fact, because of what has happened, it is not illegitimate for somebody to think that we have favored social housing institutions over anybody else. But simply because social housing that relates more to those institutions than the others. So I think in that regard, that is what I was trying to say, Jim. And I think it is proper that we consolidate that policy and be able to respond appropriately.
I'm not sure whether we can be much more expressed on that issue of cooperation.
Yes.
And then I take the view that by and large, by implication, they are part and parcel of housing. But since you are not so much expert on this matter, I think we must elevate it. And then elevate it precisely because is it not that we also argue in terms of the broader economy, that is a mixed economy, that we are going to call, in fact, we are saying that policy one will be the state intervention one, state run. That enterprises will be cooperative and also will be then private sector assisted. But I do think that in terms of the two ownership, the cooperatives one in South Africa, maybe there are a lot of problems, I don't know. I'm sure some of them face somewhere in Uganda, but of course not in Uganda. I guess that we have learned from the experience in Kenya, they are working somewhere outdated. I just guess that there are a lot of things that we can do, but I think we should just express them a little bit higher. Elevate them in the manner in which every person must know. Because we are a very big department. We are an anchor department that all many other departments are linking. If the human settlement one can't really express for, just a little cooperative, and then building their capacity in the process of doing things, I don't think we'll be able to do that in other departments. They're too small. They wouldn't have the resources that we are having in the department that is an anchor point for the human development as a whole. It really, that is my appeal to Dabandu, that we must raise. At the policy level, we are very clear that cooperatives also are very critical. But I don't think we should elevate them to be a critical element. Of course, that part of housing is very far, but I think we must be elevated to ensure that even a person really who wouldn't bit the nuances in many other policies,
yeah,
must be able to say this is a cooperative. Therefore, this is a process to attain and to achieve it towards us. I think for me, you should do that. That would be very useful.
Yeah.
Instead, your department, when everything now, you are really the department that runs the entire development, both social and economic. Therefore, I do think that if the department, as you are saying, there are resources, let us make on that one. I don't think anyone will hang us if we elevate their cooperatives in a very serious manner. Because if we do that, I think we can also address many other social problems that are there. Of course, we are raising a matter that we are going to be intensive densification, shopping, and mother cities general. And then I think one gentleman from your side also saying you must also be mindful of the social ill down the line. And then I just hope that we are engaging with everyone in that area.
Thank you, Chair. I think point taken. I think that's what I was alluding to. And I think it's taken, Chair. We will do that. The issue of disasters is not emphasized in the strategy. I think, Chair, we will take care of that because it is generally included in the program that is financed to come to the center. But I think we need to give attention to that particularly in the strategy. We will do that. I'm going to ask my colleagues to come in. Oh, Chair, you have asked for certain things, and Milile, I hope you have captured all of them, because then they become our arrangements for working with the portfolio committee over the period. The World Bank and Cities Alliance issue, the mainstreaming of PHP issue, we will deal with. I think PHP, the rest of PHP team in general, that's historical, not about what they do now, because that program is now in the department. We will remove them from there. Yeah.
Who does not understand what is going on? When he looks at this document, he will think that we still have to. That is something he must review what he's doing here, because we fight the year period. When you are being assessed by anybody, even the public, they can assess you because this is a public document.
Okay, I think we've hit up the point. Okay. We will then bring those to a particular discussion. I thought that there was actually a request from the Portfolio Committee on the International Cooperative Agreement. I remember this morning. There was a misinterpretation as to whether you want us to explain the constitutional provision. I thought you wanted the actual program to see how many arguments do we have, what are they contained, what are they about, etc. That is. Yeah. Okay, I think somebody misunderstood that part. So we are preparing for that, Chair. We will come and account when those are coming to the committee. Colleagues, can you help me? And then if there's anything else, I will take it. Maybe let's start with this to clear one or two sentences, and then you can come in.
Maybe just then there were some questions on farm worker settlements as well. Maybe just to explain the programs currently as they stand in the National Housing Code in the rural areas, those that apply. They distinguish basically on the basis of tenure. In areas where you can have township establishments, such as a small town, you can subdivide the land and transfer that land to the beneficiaries. That would be the normal integrated residential development program. The province would plan, or the municipality would plan the project, implement it and then also oversee the completion of that project. Where we, however, do projects are in communal areas where communal tenure applies. There people have to prove that they've been there for 5 years and that they have a recognized right to occupy, and that is then tackled on the basis of a project which is very flexible. They can use the money for access roads, water, sanitation, even fencing if that's the real need of that community, and the improvement and completion of existing structures or building new structures. So, and the community participates fully in that process to decide what their actual needs are. So that's a very flexible instrument which is used specifically in communal land. The community is also very much involved in the quality control of what happens there. So in other words, much of it depends on the community themselves and overseeing the process of development on the communal land. In the other areas, it's more the province which has a role to play. The project has to be involved also with NHBRC, so that's a different mechanism. I think there was a question also on farm worker settlements. The current farm worker settlements, largely in commercial areas, on privately owned land or commercially owned land, there's a couple of models. The first one is where the farmer is prepared to subdivide the land and give it to the workers as a compensation. There they could do a project overseen by the MEC and through the full participation of that community. That's one of the key components of it, and then people would get ownership on that land. However, in areas where the workers would only be residing on a temporary basis, contract basis, etc., there is a rental agreement. So the farmer, together with the workers fully involved, establishes a housing institution, so to speak, which would then oversee the development and maintenance of a rental arrangement. That has the advantage that workers, when they either retire or move to new employment, because farm workers do often work on a contract basis, so they have the flexibility to move around, and it does not disqualify them from accessing a full subsidy should they retire to a near small town or another settlement. Those are the two basic models. The documentation which is still to be developed is really the contract which the MEC, municipality, and the farm owner would then have to enter into to be able to access government funding, to see that is secure funding. And it governs issues such as what happens if the farm is sold and the current owner moves on, what happens to the government-funded stock on that farm. Those are the sort of contractual agreements which is being developed. That work is currently underway. It should actually be complete before the end of this financial year. Chair, there was a question on the rural-urban resource allocation. It runs on a formula basis, and the allocation formula for the provinces is based on the issue of the ruralness of the province vis-a-vis the urbanness and the need, etc. So it's quite a complex formula, but I'm sure we can make that available to you, just so you have some insight. There was an issue on the housing codes. Persons with disabilities are fully catered for. There's an additional amount available for people with regard to physical disabilities, hearing, and then also wheelchair accesses, etc. Those are extra amounts which is added onto the subsidy amount, fully stipulated in the code. The code, say, just as a notification, a little advert now, it is in the Minister's office following protocol. It will be forwarded to the committee formally. We also have to work through our protocols. It's in you'll probably receive a big, frightening number of books. But it's also on electronic format, which is easily accessible on a disk, and it will be on our website hopefully next week. We've had a couple of delays, but the user-friendly guide, if you read nothing else, read the user-friendly guide, because that sets out all the programs and how they operate and what they're intended to do. And if you want the more detailed technical stuff, you can then delve into the various chapters. So hopefully that should reach you by next week. We are pressing the ministry to move the letter. So hopefully that should reach you. There was a question of differences on informal settlements and tribal land. Informal settlements, I think, are settlements which are not legal, in the sense that people occupy land which does not belong to them, and they don't have permission. On tribal land, people often occupy land with the permission of the tribal authority. Then it would not be an informal settlement. It might have an informal character, because the housing may be informal and there may not be services, but there is this program which can be used for upgrading those services, as I've explained. But where people occupy land informally, that's it's not necessarily the structure, but it's the ownership of the land, which is the issue, the tenure issue. Contract documents are dealt with. Just the issue on the solar panels, I think Z touched on that earlier. The Department of Energy is putting in place regulations now for energy efficiency, which will go into effect possibly later this year. And we have been interacting with them and the South African Bureau of Standards, and we're looking at those regulations, which would in fact also, at this stage it seems, impact on our program. And it would involve, for instance, the fitting of a ceiling with insulation above that. Also, we are looking at putting in a complete electricity grid in each house. So currently it's just a prepaid panel, as you know. And then also looking at this issue of a solar element to it. Because this would be applied to all new housing built in South Africa from a certain time. My sense is the biggest improvements would be from a comfort level, the ceiling, which provides us a significant amount of comfort for people. And then secondly, the solar panel really makes a big difference in people's lives. And I think that's probably the biggest one. It comes with a cost. We are working on the costs. We will be making some recommendations to the minister on improving the subsidy amount to meet those costs. It would mean, of course, that we would, within a current resource envelope, not build as many units, but we have other plans of looking at getting a little bit more spread than depth, which we are in discussions with the minister. But that is future music. It's definitely going to come. And it will make a huge difference in people's lives. We are working on a report on the issue of the cooperatives, the legal issues and so on, so that will be coming out. See, I think those are the issues. I don't know whether I've missed any. Is there anything I've missed?
Okay, there are one question on procurement. In the document we relate to creating a procurement environment. I think largely the reference in that one is our procurement at the national department. From a policy perspective, that means from a policy guidance, especially at the provincial level, the code provides for the set of principles that must be complied with regard to procurement by each government. We are going to develop guidelines for provinces that they will use on a standard basis for the manner in which they handle procurement, so that we can remove them. This is also supported by the initiative that Treasury has since recently put in place with regard to the problems that they have picked up with regard to procurement in general in government, and we are required also from our side to actually assist in our program, detailed one. Previously, we had a very elaborate procurement guideline document that was not generally complied with. We tried to make it as we use our findings, and then we left it at guideline level. We now have to prescribe at least from a standardization, so that it become easy for people to measure that. But that's a new initiative, Honorable Member. It may not account for any deficiencies that have occurred up to now, up to the point when we have that. In short, just I want to talk about the efforts that the input of government with regard to completing some of the structures in rural areas. We have an entity called Rural Loan Fund, RoLF. RoLF does provide loans, small loans for people in rural areas to do building, to consolidate their houses, in whatever way. RoLF is the only entity of government that is under our department that is doing that. And we are looking forward to capitalizing RoLF and also coming with some new funding models. But it is important to note that RoLF is there for our rural people. And it is operational in all provinces.
And how long to address the issue of interest rates? Because we have been in fight with this RoLF, because their interest rates, it must not be so easy to say RoLF is there. Our people are experiencing a lot of problems in terms of interest rates. Yeah.
Thank you. We can take the next round. Yes.
Oh, I think then we can get the members. This is the last round, because now it's 12 o'clock. Members are rushing for their flight. So I can give them the last round. But I want to touch the issue of title deeds. We have not had anything. If you cannot give us the details of the target, set target, but we can get it next time. But in your strategy, it is not there. It's not reflecting. And then the other issue, these five key priorities. Government key five priorities. The strategy is supposed to be aligned with them. And with your strategy, there's nothing that is articulated to job creation. We are not saying we are not happy about the public works. I didn't understand why public works is there, Department of Public Works. But I think we need to be articulated in the strategy. And I wanted to request the department if they can make a summary that talks to those five key priorities, so that when we evaluate yourself, because when we evaluate yourself, we are going to look at those five key priorities of government. So if you can just provide us with a summary that talks to them specifically. And then it must not be just general. It must not be just a general thing. And then there's something that is mentioned about the rental, housing rental bill. I don't know whether it's an amendment. If you can just clarify that, if there is an amendment that is going to come up, or it's just an old legislation that we have passed already. And I think the backlog, because that issue of the title deeds is going to speak to the backlog that we are having now currently of the title deeds. So next time we're going to explore from the backlog annually how much are you going to ensure that those things are taken care of. Thank you very much. Members. Mama Foreman, Mama Fatboni, yeah, and that question.
Mine is not a question, just a request. We have been sent out by Parliament to check with these protest matches. But your department is the key one.
in fact, it's lack of information to the people. Of course, there's a need of housing and all that, but there's a lack of the information. The second one is the judge. There's a crisis and the tapestry. So you made me mention of the municipality. If we can just send your officials to Jayatu to go and enter there, I'll give you the details of the area.
That's it. Thank you, Father. I just want to go back to the thing that you raised about unsuitable land, and for example, quoting the District 6, and obviously also coming the winter, the rains, and shacks all here in the Western Cape on the where they shouldn't be. Now, and it's not only here, because I know that in other provinces, there, you know, people come in the fine weather, put their shacks on the riverbanks, and then they shouldn't be there. Now, what arose out of our discussion relating to this was, why don't we, because in many instances, those shacks have been cleared. They've been cleared before, and then in the fine weather, they come back again. There was a question of, you know, why don't we fence it off, or what do we do? And I just want to pick up on this because you mentioned it, that, you know, land is unsuitable, and really people don't understand that. They don't understand what's got to be done to the land, whether it's suitable or it's not. It's empty land. They want to put a house there. They're desperate. So I think there's and again, it's communication with the communities, and it's informing them about that.
Thanks, my question on the development of contract documents and application form for farm dwellers was not answered. And my other question is on slide 35, the introduction of early warning system to identify slow moving projects. Will you at the same time check the quality and what support are you going to provide in case there are slowly moving projects? Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think the issue of unsuitable land, I think we have to engage more on that one, because it has to be clearly defined. Why I'm raising this, we are going to the Western Cape. When it comes to a certain race of people, the land is unsuitable. When it comes to the other race, find people in these areas, our people don't have land, we have steep land, steep land. And then you'll find other people living on the steep land. So I think we need to engage more on this. And let's not just take it as easy as it is. I understand the issue of people living in the riverbank. But not as the one we saw in Dijoran. They are not in the riverbank. They are in the river, just in the middle. They are built set in the river. So if it goes and I don't have the food, here and there, no. Not me. But, so, I think we need to engage. Because we can be, some of us, we can relate to this sincerely. There are other people, they can abuse this issue of unsuitable land for housing, for human settlement. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. You have hit it on the head. because this unsuitability is not just one, it's not unsuitable because of one aspect. Let's make an example of it, and there's nothing you can do, you have to address that. Because the biggest problem in District 6, for example, is rubber. caused at the time when people were moved. And if you are not going to help them, I mean, you have not done the ritual. Full stop, and you have to find one way or the other mechanism for dealing with. Otherwise, those people originally would have been living there suitably.
And appropriately.
I think the one on people coming into the river is that's really some of the issues. And in Bangladesh, when I'm born, they stay in a place that you can predict that they know when there's rain, they're going to be swimming in the rain. What we are doing, for example, what we plan to do in Idaho, we are following it up, is that while we have done a development in those areas, and we know that they are below those flatline levels, we change the use of the land to something that the community may not want. That's the sort of thing, you do not force them out, but you put something that will make them realize that it is proper for them not to invade that kind of land. We were trying to make it space for sporting, etc. You change it, and obviously you still invest in it, sports fields or recreational areas, etc. That's the kind of approach we use in those areas that we want. Chad, overall, from a policy perspective, if you remember, there was the piloted legislation in KZN of trying to find a mechanism for preventing. Except if it was worded incorrectly eventually, the idea and the principle was not that of removing people of fencing people. Sorry. Fencing off is maybe correct, but it was saying every municipality, when we do an informal settlement upgrade, must then have a plan dedicated at identifying the areas that have not been developed and making a plan for ensuring that they are planned properly. That means the land use is identified and determined, and that they are then protected appropriately so that development takes place as intended in terms of the plan. That's really what the overall principle was. I'm not sure how the lawyers wrote it to create an impression that it was another unsuitable arrangement. I think maybe the key areas was where it appeared as if we're trying to push people away from certain areas, but then the whole thing fell flat. But the principle is honorable. For example, it accords with the Freedom Charter. It says we want to have orderly development of these areas so that the development is done in a manner that is not detrimental to the very same people who would be occupying it. And I think in that regard, Chair, proper mechanisms are going to still be pursued to look at that as an appropriate thing. It's not to try to be to reinvent the wheel of what apartheid would have done to move people away from place, but rather to create order in the community. And it's a challenging thing in a constitutional situation where people's rights can be interpreted, extended to courts, etc. That is a problem. Similar to what PIE might have done on an unintended basis. And therefore, then people interpreting that if you remove PIE in its current form, you could cause people to be vulnerable. Rather, which is what not have been intended. And I think with patience, that process will still be in place because it is desirable. It is the right thing to do. But I think we may have left in communicating properly. Chair, I've taken a note about our continued lack of communication to beneficiaries. It's in our program priorities under Mr. McLean to work with the provinces in seeking to improve the communication with the provinces and municipalities. But what is most critical might be to have certain plans. People must be certain about what plans are in place in their locality. Because some of the things are caused by the anxiety of not knowing when will things happened in that particular thing. So the first thing is to ensure that you yourself are clear about the plans of that municipality. Then you can go and inform people that they will get their services this way, this year, and the actual top structure 5 years down the line. And that is communicated, negotiated, people know. I'm not sure it will remove the chance takers who may have political benefit in the process, but I think it will reduce the element of those people who are unreasonable in the process. Chair, I think I do want, if it is possible, that question that has not been addressed, if you can repeat it, maybe we got it wrong.
As a contract and application forms are being developed for farm dwellers, do you take into consideration the fact that most of them did not go to school, and what support is going to be provided to them, like in reading the interpreting the contract and as to how to fill the forms? Are they going to be helped in some way?
They must reflect, because what you do in the current beneficiary arrangements, for example, there would be people who are uneducated. There are arrangements for what you call them, similar to communities.
Yeah.
Can you explain the process yourself? That is involved. Of informing the people, taking the forms to them and filling it and helping them complete. We use the same arrangement. But I think he was referring to contracts between government and the farm owner, who would be either alienating a portion of land, or who then has to agree to a rental arrangement, which must not unfairly benefit him, because that's what we're saying in the program. If a farmer decides to enter into this rental arrangement, which is subsidized, at the end of that process, he can't benefit unduly for it. He must compensate back to government their contribution to that, because it can't be an unjust and reasonable arrangement. But the contract we're referring to now was that contract. At the beneficiary level, there are structures that are put in place. Julie, you can explain that, please.
Thank you, Chair. On this issue of unfinished houses, let's say a person had a 5-room structure, but you couldn't put the roofing or the window panes due to the fact that maybe it's dead or retrenched. Does the department have a program for that? Because in the rural areas, we have many structures like that, and we don't have answers for them.
That is accommodated. The only problem, that is accommodated, provided those people qualify in terms of the overall qualification criteria. If they can show they are not earning anything, etc. In fact, that can save government a lot of money if they've already started construction. Well, that they, it's not prevented. I do agree that what has happened practically, which has been a problem, until we had that workshop on housing and to understand what was practically happening, is that instead of fixing problems, including the disasters in the rural areas, we're seeing this trend. Instead of fixing what is existing there, people want to put a small window next to that thing, almost sometimes vulgarizing the whole environment. The program that would at the moment allows for you to cost that up to the subsidy amount and effect improvements that are appropriate in that case, so that you don't create a new township in a rural area. That's been the problem.
Chair, I think we responded to all questions.
Thank you,
Chair. Honourable members, most of the projects will have what we call the CDW, the Community Development Workers, who are actually members from the community, who actually go back into the community with information. They assist with the capacity building, but they're actually provided with information about the project, about processes, about the way things are supposed to happen. And they take that information back to the community. They actually form a very, very important part of the way in which a project is delivered. Insofar as even the application forms are concerned, they even explain and assist with all those kinds of requirements. So that is taken care of, Chair. And in the larger projects, even like at the N2, for example, we have a whole band of community development workers who will work through a project from the time that we can start to get them rolling into through the different phases, where they will go to the informal settlements where people are currently residing. They'll inform them about what is happening, and so there is a process in place to take care of that change. Thank you.
Reserve them, please. No. Oh, we are cracking with me. We have started already. He's cracking us now. Now, I think we have come to the end of our discussion, but what is important, we all understand that this is a broader framework that we have been dealing with. And it is important that when we meet these little things, we have to make sure that we express them out, because they are the ones that are causing a lot of problems on the ground. So it is very much important that when we come before the portfolio committee, those issues, this money, there's only the slimmers are imbovane, iyangena indlovu. There's this slimmers are not the escape. So let's make sure that is addressed as the date. Last issue, so I'm just giving you a homework, Mr. Sabantu. Ailula, we are tired of being a call center for the department and the portfolio committee. My secretary, Yagalu Angalali, a phone ring about it. It's true. People raising their problems. You have got your call center. But we accept that the people, if you are not saving their interest or you are not satisfying their interest, they will come to us. But what we are expecting, when those people come to us, those issues must be resolved. I don't think you have got enough capacity within the department to ensure that those things are really there. There has to be a follow-up. I don't know whether it would take wise to have to create a unit that is going to be consistent on this, because everything, there's these issues that come from the president, the presidential call center, it's a pile. There are issues that come to your call center, it's also a pile. There are issues that come from my office. There are issues that come from individual members of the individual parties. I don't know how I'm going to handle those issues, really. I think you need to sit down and strategize, because those things have to be resolved, really. Then there's money, then there's better. Otherwise, it's a delay. But most of the very small matters delay, people perceive as if government is doing nothing. But government has done a lot for the people of this country. But these small things, they can tarnish the government image. Thank you. The meeting again.
Okay.